episode 26. Time runs out, month 2. Welcome, time travelers. This is Matt Anderson here with you again tonight, and we're going to be looking at that Avengers storyline going on right now. Time runs out, and I haven't re-listened to my first episode when we covered month one, but I don't think that the big event for 2015 had been announced yet. Even if I had covered it, I'll just tell you again, it is going to be called Secret Wars, and it will be the 31st anniversary of when Secret Wars originally debuted. So what we understand now is that time runs out, we'll go directly into Secret Wars. So that's an interesting note here, but, just in case you're new to these solo episodes, I've been covering a lot of the more recent Marvel events. Well, not a lot, I guess two. I've been covering Spider-Verse, and then I, just started covering Time Runs Out, the Avengers, storyline. So Spider-Verse is covering, that story is about, all the different Spider-Men from the multiverse are all in this one big action-packed story, so I'm excited about that. And then Time Runs Out is a story that's set in the future of the Marvel Universe, but not too far in the future. Last month, we had 8 months to go, and this month, it says in the banner on the top of each of these comics, in 7 months, ... time runs out. So, as I mentioned in the last episode where we talked about this, Marvel has said that these issues should be treated as if we're picking them up off the shelf 7 months from now. And this is what would be happening in the Marvel Universe at that time. So then all the other Marvel comics are going to be leading up to what we're seeing in both Avengers and New Avengers, which is both being written by Jonathan Hickman. Jonathan Hickman is also the guy who is going to be doing Secret Wars. He'll be leading that big event next year as well. So, just so you know, the point of these episodes is so that you can maybe even not read the issues. I mean, I'd encourage you to read them, I suppose, but let's say you know you're not going to, but you still want to know what's going on in the Marvel Universe. I'll try to just give you a snapshot of what's happening in these issues. And one of the big reasons I wanted to do this is before I started buying comics again recently and getting back into comics in general, how I kind of started down this journey is by listening to comic-based podcasts where they would walk through the different events. And so, and you know, I ended up reading a lot of them, but some of the events, like, let me think of one. I think Secret Invasion, which came out quite a few years back, and a lot of the New 52 DC stuff. For some of that, I was actually listening to people describe what was happening in a podcast before I actually sat down and read the story in full. And so that's sort of what I want to do, give back a little bit the same way that I was given to by podcasts, and maybe we'll get you back into comics the way it did for me. So, again, we're looking at Time Runs Out. This is an Avengers-based storyline. It's a little bit confusing at this point in some ways because I don't necessarily know why everybody's acting the way they are, but I think that's sort of the point. It's a little bit of a mystery. So I'm just going to kind of flip through the pages. I've got some notes here on things that I think are important to note, but something that... So here's the three issues we're going to look at. So they did some double shipping this in this month that we're covering. So there's two Avengers books and then New Avengers. So we got Avengers number 36, and then the following week there was New Avengers number 25, and then after that we had Avengers number 37. So all of those are under the banner of in 7 months time runs out. So so this issue, actually, to be honest, it started out a little bit slow but then got awesome towards the end. One thing to know about these Avengers issues so far is that they've heavily featured the characters that I would say are lesser known unless you've been really following the Jonathan Hickman run since the beginning. So each of the comics have a page that has every Avenger. And let me see right now how many there are that are considered official members of the team. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay, so a nice even number there. So 20 active members of the Avengers roster currently. So there's other people that may show up in the story, but people that will often be appearing in Avengers are these 20. And in this particular issue, we've got, again, like I said, some of the ones that are maybe lesser known. So I'm going to just throw out the name and then I'll tell you a little something about them. Nothing too serious, but just so you can kind of get an idea of who these people are. So, Two friends on the team, Cannonball and Sunspot, are more frequently, I think, associated with the X-Men. They first appeared, first appeared in Marvel graphic novel number 4, The New Mutants. That's from 1982. They were created by Chris Claremont. And I don't know if they became Avengers just when Jonathan Hickman started writing them, but that's where they're at right now. So they're not associated with the X-Men currently. They're currently doing Avengers stuff. So both of them are mutants. Sunspot has solar-based powers. And Cannonball, you know what? I don't think I remember. Oh, yeah. He has the ability to fly at jet speeds while encased in an impenetrable force field. So, yeah. So these two guys are kind of important so far. We've also got a character named Ex Nihilo and his sort of sister, maybe not a sister, but her name is Abyss. So these two characters, these would be really confusing. They're brand new, just appeared when Jonathan Hickman started his run on Avengers during the Marvel Now initiative. Originally, it looked like these two guys were going to be villains, but they ended up coming around and helping the Avengers. So I don't know how much to say about them right now. I mean, it might be beneficial just to read the volumes where they first appear, which would be volumes 1 and 2 of Jonathan Hickman's Avengers. But they were part of, what's the best way to explain this? There were an ancient species of maybe aliens, I guess you could say, and they were called Builders. And they would often use their technology to jumpstart evolution on planets. And Ex Nihilo is a part of that machine basically used to jumpstart evolution. So he is a being, a living being, but he is also sort of one step in this process. So I'm not sure if his kind are grown or if they're born, but there's a ton of different Ex Nihilo-like characters. So that's him. And then Abyss, she looks more humanoid. I don't exactly know what her part of the whole deal is. She seems to have maybe be associated with death in a way, but not as in such a villainous way as Thanos. So those two characters go hand in hand, though they're often seen together, just like Cannonball and Sunspot. And another pair is Night Mask and Starbrand is his name. Both of these characters originally appeared in the New Universe. Now, this is a totally side universe, just like Ultimate Marvel Universe is a totally side universe. The New Universe is something, it was sort of a Marvel experiment. And that was first, that first came out in the late 80s, 86 to 89. And it was the brainchild of Jim Shooter. So Starbrand and Night Mask, they originally were over there. And then Jonathan Hickman decided to use him in his Avengers run. So we've got them, and then so these three pairs now, they all are prominent in the Avengers storyline. And Cannonball is in a relationship with a female character named Smasher, and she has ties to the Shi'ar Empire. So she's human, she's from Earth, but she's got intergalactic powers. And again, it's kind of funny, these characters are really important in the current Avengers storyline, but I think to a lot of listeners out there and a lot of comic readers, not as well known. There's also a character named Manifold. I'm not sure where he first popped up, but he has a teleportation power, so that's how he's mainly used on the Avengers. And all these characters so far that I'm mentioning, these are the ones that appear in this issue we're about to look at. And then the more well-known characters would probably be Thor, who is in here, but he's now currently known as Odin's son, because if you've been following the media, Thor was replaced by a female who has his hammer power, so he's just going by his last name, Odinson. And then this other character, I feel like he's more well-known, but maybe he's not. His name is Hyperion, and he is an analog to Superman. He was created years back. I think they first had a, kind of a fake Justice League team that was villainous, and then Hyperion came on, and he's more of a hero. But he's from the multiverse, so he's not originally from Earth 616. And now he is a member of the Avengers. So these are the main characters that appear in this one. So you notice I left off Iron Man. Captain America's not in here. Hulk, Hawkeye. All these characters who are more well-known were not really part of the story. So, all right, now let's dive into just this first issue. And again, I sort of just want to summarize it for you, let you know what's happening. I won't give you every different story beat, but what I want this podcast to be for you is a way for you to know what's happening in the storyline. So the gist of it is that a group of these Avengers are going to be making a huge sacrifice to save Earth. There's we find out that as the multiverse is collapsing, it used to be infinite. Now we're just down to several hundred thousand in the multiverse that are left. And Sunspot has come up with an idea to save Earth. So Sunspot, I didn't realize he was wealthy. I don't know if that's a new thing or something that happened in the last, secret 7 months. But he somehow was able to purchase AIM, which is, again, a villainous organization. But now he owns them and he owns their science, I guess. And so they're developing this machine. And this machine, it looks really similar to if you read Jonathan Hickman's run on Fantastic Four, where Reed Richards built this thing called the Bridge. It's sort of a portal to the multiverse. That's what it looks like they have here. But whether it's exactly like that or different, it still is something that's going to be kind of teleporting them across the multiverse. And so this group includes Odinson, Hyperion, Ex Nihilo, and then a huge group of his people. Abyss is going to be there, Nightmask, Starbrand. And they know that this is a mission that they won't be returning from. So I don't know, as a reader, I don't know all the specifics on what their mission is. I know that they're going to be sent across the multiverse, but this is a sacrifice because they're planning to never return to Earth 616. But they're, by doing this, they're going to save hopefully this Earth, but then also the multiverse as a whole. And I won't probably rehash this every single time we do one of these episodes, but if you've been following New Avengers or if you've just kind of been hearing what's been going on in Marvel in general, there have been different, the multiverse is collapsing because there's been these incursions where the different universes are touching each other and they shouldn't be able to touch. And so that's causing basically breakdown points. And so everything's just collapsing. So that's what they're trying to stop. Also, one last note about Avengers 36 here. I didn't notice this in the last issue, but it looks like Thor's left arm has been replaced by a robotic arm. So that's crazy. I don't know how that happened. But the issue ends with this team of Avengers that I just named off walking through the portal and then bam, over. And that's the end of this issue. So like I said, it started off slow. And then when I started hearing more about the sacrifice they're going to make, it got pretty awesome. And I mean, as a reader of this Avengers series for a while, I am a fan of these lesser known characters. Even more so, for some reason, I'm really drawn to the New Universe characters. I've never read the New Universe comics, but I like Starbrand, as we've seen him here in Hickman's run. I like Nightmask. So those are pretty cool characters. Odinson's cool. I like the idea of Hyperion. I feel like Ex Nihilo and Abyss, I don't know very well, so it's hard to connect with them. And same with Cannonball and Sunspot. I didn't read them in the X-Men books before, so I don't feel really attached to them. But so that was the first issue. I'd say pretty good overall. Then we dive into, now we're going to go to New Avengers number 25. And I feel like I keep mentioning Jonathan Hickman. I think it's clear by now that he's the writer of these books, but this guy is awesome. I just really like what he's been doing in Marvel. I'd mentioned that he had a long run on Fantastic Four. I think it ran from, I could be wrong about these exact years, but it was about 3 years. So I think 2009 to 2012. And he planted seeds. I just read recently in an interview with Tom Brevoort from Marvel. He's an editor over there. Jonathan Hickman planted seeds for the upcoming Secret Wars that's, it's coming out in 2015. And he kind of planted the seeds for that way back in this Fantastic Four run. So, this has been in the works for years. Even before Marvel Now, they knew that they were heading towards this Secret Wars anniversary event. So that's pretty cool. All right. So I have here now in my hands New Avengers number 25. The cover shows Black Panther and Reed Richards standing there in front of a bunch of coffins. And it looks like it's fallen members of the Illuminati. But there's no scene in the entire book that looks anything like that. And I don't think anybody dies, so sort of misleading. And I think this review will be a little faster because, to be honest, we didn't really learn anything new from this issue. Between New Avengers and Avengers, New Avengers has been a favorite of mine, but I really felt let down by this particular issue because most of the issue is used to have Sue Richards, who's working for S.H.I.E.L.D. and the S.H.I.E.L.D.-run Avengers. She's interrogating Amadeus Cho, who's a member of the Illuminati. And I just feel like there wasn't a lot learned during this kind of ongoing interrogation scene, other than Sue is just furious at her husband Reed for an unknown reason. And she's saying that when they catch him, he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. So she's obviously pretty upset about something that he did, but we don't know what yet. I guess we do get to know a little bit more about the newer members of the Illuminati, such as Captain Britain and Amadeus Cho. But other than that, the really only cool thing that happened in this issue was there was a brief reference to some things that happened in another Jonathan Hickman book that's even lesser known. It's called S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's not about the spy agency as it is today. It's more about its origins and the history of S.H.I.E.L.D. and how it was almost a secret society in the old days. So you had people like Leonardo da Vinci as a member of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the past. And so this series, I really enjoyed it. I think I first read it way back in 2011. And then there was a long hiatus where they weren't producing more issues of it. So it's still, to be honest, this series hasn't completed yet. I think they have in mind to have 12 total issues, and only I think 8 or 9 have been released. The first 6 were collected, so you can read that. But after that, they haven't been collected yet. So I've heard recently that this is still happening, that the artist and Hickman are on board to finish these issues. But as of now, this story is still not complete. But it is kind of cool, because if you like secret societies and conspiracies and things like that, S.H.I.E.L.D. taps into those kind of things. So another one I'd recommend from Hickman. And I feel like the way he plots stories, I'm sure there's things that are important now in the Marvel Universe that maybe had their roots in that S.H.I.E.L.D. storyline. So again, I'm going to kind of fast forward to this part of the review, because New Avengers number 25 here, just a letdown. Black Panther at the very end of the issue joins the team. I don't really know why they're spread out. So yeah, the different members of the Illuminati are kind of all in hiding, and we know that S.H.I.E.L.D. has a good way of tracking them. So I don't know. I think this issue, though, does roll right into the next issue, which is Avengers number 37. This was a better read, and it's also the issue where I really started asking myself, who are the good guys in the storyline? Because you've got heroes facing each other, similar to Civil War. But in Civil War, I think I just instinctively sided with Steve Rogers, because he is the epitome of the good guy. You know you can trust him. He's full of honor. But I tend to, in this storyline, side with the Illuminati. And Steve Rogers is opposed to them. He's like adamantly opposed to them. In some ways, I almost feel like he's losing it. And he had some different bursts of outrage in this book where he was yelling at some of his teammates. And he is older now. I don't know if you're familiar with what's happened to him recently, but due to something a villain did to him, he actually was aged to, not sure how old, but he looks like maybe 60, 70-ish. So he can't really fight as Captain America anymore. He's just Captain Steve Rogers. So, all right, let's start flipping through here and see what's happening in Avengers 37. So the Illuminati is still in hiding, still in the place where we had seen them in that new Avengers issue. But now as the issue opens, they've just teleported away. And so S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers have their coordinates. So Hawkeye goes in there, and they find that a message has been left for Steve Rogers at the site where they had just left. So in a panel, or not, it's actually a full page spread, we've got Hawkeye communicating with some of the S.H.I.E.L.D. Avengers. So there's Maria Hill, there's Sue Richards, both in S.H.I.E.L.D. uniforms, and then Steve Rogers sitting in a commander's chair, and the new Captain America, who is Sam Wilson, formerly the Falcon. So they go down to check out the site where the Illuminati just left, and there's a message, sort of a cryptic message left for Steve Rogers, from Beast, it looks like. Beast, who's a member of the Illuminati. Maybe it was from Reed, I don't know, but in general, it makes Steve mad because he can't catch them, and this is one of the bursts of outrage I told you about. He picks something up and just starts destroying stuff in this secret lair of the Illuminati. Let's see. In this issue, we find out that Black Widow and Spider-Woman, who were Avengers, are off the grid. No one knows where they are, so no one knows exactly what side they're on. We see that Steve Rogers has finally come to trust Sue Richards. So, she's working for S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers, but her husband's on the opposite side, so they didn't know if they could trust her or not. And he finally lets her in on some of the more secret meetings, and he reveals to her that she's proven herself and that he does indeed trust her. But then, at the end of the issue, turns out his trust was placed in her wrongly, because she actually is secretly helping her husband. So, you know, I was glad to see that for a fan of marriage. I was glad that Sue and Reed are not at odds and heading towards divorce. So she's secretly helping Reed and the Illuminati and gain information to them, but also working for Steve Rogers just so she can kind of be in the know on that side. So, yeah, I don't know. I was starting to really wonder if the story was going to go that direction, because it seemed like you can't keep Sue and Reed apart, but yeah, they did keep them. They put them together right away. So they quickly resolved that issue that we saw in the last month, where it seemed like Sue was really mad at him. So, another interesting scene in this book had Terax, who is one of the villains, who's a member of the Cabal. We kind of find out in this issue that the Cabal has presented the problem to the world. So everybody before, the Illuminati secretly were trying to stop these incursions and stop the multiverse from collapsing. But at some point, Namor and his Cabal, they went public with it, revealed it to the world's leaders, and the Cabal now has the okay to go ahead and stop the incursions by any means necessary. So there's a scene where Terax is on the screen, and he is saying, we did not cause this, and just like you, we did not ask for this fate. But unlike the Illuminati, we will not hide it from you. We will not simplify the moral dilemma. We will not take that choice from you, as that is yours to make. So please choose to sleep at night soundly, knowing we ensured that the next day the sun will surely rise for you and for all mankind. So, yeah, so it's a pretty open deal now that everybody's in danger and that the universe is probably going to collapse. So, yeah, so that's kind of a big revelation here in this future timeline. So the issue ends with Reed and Sue talking through their plan, as I had mentioned, and Sue gives Reed a letter from their daughter, Val, and the letter says, "Dad, you can't win. Time to start figuring out how not to lose, Val." And so I think, you know, Val is also a super genius, probably even smarter than Reed, even though she's quite young. I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but I think in the comics she's only 4 or 5 years old. But like I said, she's a super genius. So she often in stories will be helping to figure out the plan and help with the mechanics of things. And so I basically she's saying there's no way out of this collapse of the multiverse. You have to figure out a different type of plan. And so, yeah, I guess with this month, we're kind of left with wondering how are things going to ever resolve. And again, we know we're heading towards Secret Wars, so which is a multiversal event. And yeah, it's a fun event, but I'll be honest, this month with these three issues, Avengers 36 and 37 and New Avengers 25, it was the first time where I started to kind of feel like, oh, I don't know if I want to just buy these individual issues, because the story is not, when I buy individual issues, I really like each one to be packed with goodness, and I want to really feel like it's like I got a great story just in that individual issue. But this is a type of slow burn event where over the course of the next 7 months, they're going to be unveiling these different things. And so I guess I know what I'm getting myself into, but I did start to wonder, do I really want to stick with this, or should I maybe think about waiting for the trades to come out? But I'll stick with it for a few more months and see if, I mean, it's not unbearable by any means, but if it starts to get to the point where I just feel like I'm wasting my money, maybe I'll duck out of these. But for now, it's still like, I like events that kind of revolve around multiverse stories, parallel universe things. And so this has been fun for that. So that will wrap up the talk here on Avengers. I did want to mention, since I have you here listening to this and we're doing shorter episodes covering these issues of time runs, I thought this would be a good opportunity to make one other recommendation, not related to Avengers, but just another book that I've been really liking. And this is one where every issue, I do feel like that was worth it. That was really fun. And the first collection of this title just came out, so I wanted to just go ahead and recommend it to you. So I'm holding in my hands the trade paperback of Silver Surfer. This is the kind of subtitle for this collection. Is called New Dawn, and this is written by Dan Slott. And so Dan Slott is the writer of Spider-Man currently, and that's the exact reason why I even picked up Silver Surfer in the issues in the first place. So even though I have the trade here, I originally purchased this in the individual issues. So this trade collects Silver Surfer from 2014, issues number 1 through 5, and then also some material from one of their Point Now issues. But yeah, like I said, Dan Slott, I loved his writing with Spider-Man. So I bought this, I started buying Silver Surfer, even though I wasn't a fan of the character of Silver Surfer. Not that I hate him, I just, it's not a character I've ever really been drawn to. But this story is just so much fun. It's funny, it's got great characters, good stories. It's put together in a way where you could have, I mean, Silver Surfer could be a brand new character in some ways, and you would be totally brought into the story and understand everything that's happening. If you've never read anything with the Silver Surfer before, you could still pick this up and be totally caught up, and everything's explained that you need to know. Just tons of fun. I mean, I think I'd recommend this to people that are fans of Dan Slott, fans, anybody that's a fan of more quirky comics. If you're a fan of sci-fi shows like Doctor Who, for example, one of the premises of Silver Surfer is that there's an Earth female who gets drawn into the sci-fi action, and so she has to be a companion of sorts to Silver Surfer, and so that there is sort of a Doctor Who tie into that. Not necessarily that they're traveling through time, but definitely traveling through space together. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like about Silver Surfer. I don't want to do a full review on it right now. I just wanted to do the recommendation. So go check out if you have a library that has books, or pick this up at a bookstore. It's called Silver Surfer, New Dawn. I mean, I really like it. So if you like cosmic comics, set in space, lots of that action. There's some brief appearances by other Marvel characters you may know, such as Doctor Strange and Hulk. But again, they don't appear as you'd usually see them. They're a little bit different in the sense that just how they're written is a little bit more quirky. Oh, the Guardians of the Galaxy are in here. So yeah, lots to enjoy for lots of different people. So go check out Silver Surfer. All right, well, let me know what you're thinking about the Time Runs Out event. Feel free to write in here at feedback@comicbooktimemachine.com. Also, if you're reading anything you want me to recommend, or that you want to recommend to me, and I'll check it out, then maybe I can recommend it to the audience. If you're reading Silver Surfer and you'd like to hear more discussion on that, basically just let me know what you'd like to hear us talk about here at Comic Book Time Machine, and we'll go from there. So that is all from here, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Matt Anderson for the Comic Book Time Machine, signing off.